This is Marginalia, a production of KMUW Wichita.
Marginalia. Notes in the margin of a book.
Notes, commentary, and similar material written in the margin of a book.
Comments and notes which are incidental
or additional to
the main topic in the margin of a book.
Ariel Lahan likes a good puzzle. She likes a mystery that she can research and research and research and then artistically retell the story to readers. Her first book explored the unsolved mystery of a justice who disappeared in New York in the 1930s. Her second book explored the conspiracy surrounding the Hindenburg disaster. And now her third book explores the life of Russian Grand Duchess Anastasia Romanoff and the woman who years later claimed to be her. I recently spoke with Lahan just after her book, I Was Anastasia, was released in paperback. I'm Beth Golay, this is Marginalia, and here's our conversation. I want to set this book up for readers who are not familiar. The book is I Was Anastasia. It is a historical mystery told through two storylines, each moving in an opposite direction time-wise. In fact, the title of part one is The End and the Beginning. One story moving forward in time is the story of the Romanoff family from the revolution in 1917 to the night in 1918 when the Romanoffs were supposedly all executed. And the other storyline is Anna Anderson's, beginning in 1970 when she learned that the verdict was out that she would never be formally recognized as Anastasia Romanoff. And it moves backward toward that same point on the timeline, the night in 1918 when the Romanoffs were supposedly all executed. What was it about the Anna Anastasia story that captured your imagination?
Well, it's this really fascinating situation in which you have a Russian Grand Duchess who is long believed to have been murdered with the rest of her family. But for 50 years, you have this other woman, Anna Anderson, who claims to be Anastasia Romanoff. She claims to have survived that horrible night in Siberia, and she spends the rest of her life trying to prove it. And it occurred in this moment in world history where the technology didn't exist to definitively prove one way or another. There were no facial recognition programs. There was no genetic testing. Photographs even were not all that common or commonly available. So you have a woman come out of nowhere, claim to be a Russian Grand Duchess, and it captures the world's imagination. To me, as an author, that's a really fascinating thing to explore. Legend and memory and identity. I mean, I don't know what better fictional fodder there is.
You mentioned these two experiences. They actually occurred. And I'm not asking you to assign percentages, but how much of I Was Anastasia is based on facts uncovered during your research, and how much was creative license?
I would say 80 to 85% is absolute factually accurate. I write historical novels, so I'm very conscious of the fact that I need to stick with history. I build my story, however, within the cracks between those facts, the things we don't know, the things we can't confirm. With the exception of some descriptions and some dialogue, that sort of thing, everything that happens in Anastasia's storyline is accurate. I stayed as true to the facts as is possible to do so. Anna Anderson's was a little bit trickier because there's been less written about her, fewer biographies, fewer papers. But there's still a good bit that we know, and I stayed true to everything that we do know. And then I built my story from the things that we don't know for sure.
Do you have any examples of factual information that would surprise the reader that it was actually factual and not made up in your imagination?
Oh, yeah. So let me think. In the Anastasia storyline, a thing that plays heavily into the story is the fact that the Romanov daughters sewed jewels into their clothing, into their corsets and their gowns, at the instruction of their mother. It comes across as almost fantastical in the book, or in really in any telling of these events, simply because, I mean, we don't have access to jewels, much less enough to sew into our clothing. But it really happened, and that's how they smuggled these jewels into captivity with them. And then from the Anna Anderson storylines, here's a really fascinating thing. One of Anna Anderson's biggest supporters throughout her life was a man named Gleb Botkin, who really was the son of the Romanov family doctor, the man that went into captivity with them and eventually went into that basement in Siberia with them. And Gleb Botkin and Anastasia Romanov were childhood friends. They knew one another really well. Fast forward many years, this same Gleb Botkin becomes one of Anna Anderson's greatest supporters. You can't make this stuff up. It's fascinating when you dig into the details.
We talked about how one storyline moves forward in time and the other one moves backward, all heading toward the same point. Was that difficult to write? I mean, I noticed the story moving backward would have a lot of whatever the opposite of foreshadowing would be. Did you write two different stories that were then merged together, or what was your writing process like?
It was so hard. I've been joking for the last year since the book came out that it was like juggling chainsaws, only the chainsaws are on fire and I was blindfolded. It's so tricky to write a narrative in reverse because you have to change the timing of all of your clues and all of your reveals. And what might be foreshadowing in one narrative almost ends up being post-shadowing. Is that a word? I'm not sure. You have to train yourself to think of the story differently. But it was really hard. There were times that I would write big chunks of one narrative at a time, and then there were other points in the novel where I would switch back and forth between the two, planting clues or revealing information as necessary to keep the flow intact. But it was really challenging. Now, I love a puzzle. I love figuring things out. So the part of my brain that wants to solve a puzzle had a great deal of fun. The part of my brain that wants a story to flow smoothly had a little bit more trouble keeping it all straight, but I think it worked out well in the end.
Were there any characters, real or imagined, that became your favorites?
Oh, goodness. I'm trying to think if there are any imagined characters in the book. I don't think.
Were they all real?
I made anyone up. They were all real.
Thomas?
I take that back.
Oh, Tomas?
Tomas, I guess. He would be a composite.
Okay.
But a man like him existed. We don't have the specific name for him. Some of the soldiers that guarded the Romanov family, their names are recorded, but most of them are not. The relationship Maria Romanov had with one of the soldiers, his name is recorded, so that is accurate, but I did make Thomas's name up. He is probably the only one that's fictional. Everyone else is accurate. I have to say, though, to answer your question, I really, really liked Anastasia herself. I didn't know a whole lot about her. I was not one of those girls that followed the story and watched the musicals or the movies. I came to her fresh in writing this novel. So I got to discover this really precocious, fascinating young woman in an unspeakable situation. And it was really kind of fun to learn who she was.
This is not, I feel like I should say, the only one I really loved was the composite, was the one you made up. But it doesn't matter what I think. I did love him, though.
I did, too. I live in a house with a bunch of teenage boys, so I am fond of the species in general. Hopefully that came across.
This is not your first historical mystery. The Wife, the Maid, and the Mistress, which was published in 2013, explores and reimagines an unsolved crime, the disappearance of a justice in the 1930s. And published in 2016, In Flight of Dreams, you told the story of those on board the Hindenburg when it went down and the conspiracy surrounding its end. What attracts you to this genre?
I love mysteries. I grew up reading Agatha Christie novels, so it's ingrained in me. I love a good mystery. But in particular, I love those mysteries, those moments in history that are unsolved. So, for instance, with my first novel, The Wife, the Maid, and the Mistress, to this day, no one can say with any certainty what happened to Judge Joseph Crater. With my second novel, Flight of Dreams, we know the Hindenburg crashed and burned, literally, but no one can say with any degree of certainty what caused the explosion. And then with I Was Anastasia, This one is a little bit different. For me, the mystery in this one was I wanted to explore why we are still 100 years later so fascinated with this story, with these women. And I wanted to sort of unpack their lives and how this legend came about. I love answering questions. I love poking around in history. I love learning about moments and times in history that I haven't had the chance to study before. It's fun for me.
Why do you think 100 years later we are so still enraptured or, you know, infatuated with the Romanovs?
I think it's because of the tragedy. If you study the Russian Revolution, if you study everything that led up to that family being put in captivity and led to Siberia, you can argue that Nicholas and Alexander were terrible rulers. You can argue that maybe possibly even they were criminals. You can argue that justice needed to be served. But nobody can say that a family, including five young children, should have been led into a basement in Siberia and executed. You can't say that. It's horrific and it's tragic, and we can't make sense of that. And so on one hand, we have an entire royal family, supposedly, murdered. And then on the other hand, we have this woman come out of nowhere and offered this glimpse of hope. Maybe if she is Anastasia, it doesn't have this terrible, tragic ending. Maybe there's hope. Hope is this really powerful thing. And she stepped onto the world stage and she offered it. And to this day, 100 years later, we're still talking about her. That's fascinating.
Your books are based on real events. Do you ever find readers unwilling or reluctant to begin because they feel they already know how the stories end?
I Was Anastasia is the first one where I think people have a more universal idea of how it ends. They're more familiar with this one than the other two. This one, however, the responses that I've gotten so far have been more along the lines of, I've always been fascinated with that story. I've always wanted to know what happened. And so they approach it more with curiosity, although I have had a few readers who will email me and say they were very, very hesitant to pick it up because they thought they knew the entire story and that I surprised them. And I feel like that's really gratifying because the biggest challenge with this novel was always the reality that I had to tell a story in which everyone already thinks they know the ending. And so I have to make it curious enough to keep going. And that's what I tried to do.
I've mentioned the publication dates of your novels, 2013, 2016, mm-hmm. and 2018. I hope I got those right. That's the timeline for publication. What was the timeline for writing?
Each of these books, give or take a little bit, has been between a year to a year and a half. It becomes this really immersive process because I approach a subject that I know very little about, and I have to become an expert in it, or at least a short-term expert. And there's massive amounts of research involved. And then I have to write the novel itself. And it takes years sometimes. And it's an all-consuming process. For I Was Anastasia, I read probably close to 50 books on the subject. And I took notes constantly. And I referred back to those books the entire time I was writing. It is no small undertaking.
Are you working on anything right now?
I am almost done with a novel based on the life of a woman named Nancy Wake. She was an Australian journalist living in France at the outbreak of World War II. And she ended up becoming a spy for the British. And over the course of the war, became the Gestapo's most wanted person throughout the war in any theater. And then once everything was said and done, she was the most decorated female operative to fight for the Allied forces. She was an absolutely incredible woman. And for the most part, Americans know nothing about her because she was Australian. She's not taught in our history books.
How did you discover her?
I have a friend who's Australian and who basically said that we could no longer be friends if I did not write about this woman next. And she introduced me to her, and I began to research and absolutely was staggered at what she did over the course of the war. And she's one of those people that deserves to be a household name. She deserves to be as well known as Amelia Earhart or, oh gosh, insert any name that we're taught in our history books. She deserves that, and she hasn't gotten it. So hopefully I can do a little to help that.
That was Ariel Lahan, author of the book I Was Anastasia, which was published by Anchor Books. Thanks for joining us for Marginalia. Discover more episodes at kmuw.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Marginalia is produced at KMUW Wichita. Our engineers are Mark Statzer and Torin Anderson. Our editors are Luann Stevens and Haley Krausen, and I am the producer. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.